Okay, done.
Yeah, ready for you to press.
Morning, Rabbi Sly.
Yankee.
Oh, I need to press five.
Okay. No, it's off speaker, but.
So our limud of Hilchas Lashon Hara and Rechilus in Sefer Chofetz Chaim is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayle, Yishtav refuah Shleim of Akor B'Soy Shal Chayle Yisrael. So yesterday we were speaking about a specific example, and a good example that the Chofetz Chaim brings down, not that he needs my compliment, is the case of Gedalio ben Achikom, who was told that someone was threatening to kill him, and he refused to be mekabel lashon hara, as a result of which the person who threatened to kill him succeeded in killing him. So to take that example, says the Chofetz Chaim, so if you know that Reuven is planning to, no, we always talk about Levi, it's always Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven wants to tell Shimon that Levi is planning to do harm to him. Whether it's monetary harm, whether it's physical harm, bodily harm, whatever it is, insulting, embarrassing, whatever it is that he's planning to do. So I want to warn Shimon that he's at risk of coming to harm through Levi. Says the Chofetz Chaim that the first thing, this we learnt yesterday, the first thing you have to do is to try and persuade Levi. Now go and speak to Levi and see whether or not. Said either you, so it depends on what sort of a person he is as to how you warn him. Yeah, do you actually warn him and threaten him with the consequences? You know, some people, the consequences are that you will burn in Gehenna. Yeah, for some people, the consequences will be that I will, you know, I'll arrange a contract or something on you. Whatever it is, yeah, that it's a warning to stop the harm from coming. Or in some cases, it's to placate him. It's to speak nicely to him, it's try and calm him down, try and persuade him that what he thought that the other person did is not so bad, or it never happened, etc., etc. There might be ways you might even be able to bribe him, maybe for money, that he would be prepared to desist from the plan that he has. And therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, you first of all, you've got to try and do that. Now, there are two possibilities. Number one is that he might accept it, he might agree, and the story might be over. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's perfect. Why? Because first of all, you have been zoicha to bring Sholem ben on lachaveiroi. You've been mekayim the mitzvah of toichocha in the best way, that you were moichiach the person not to do what he planned to do, and itaka didn't do it. So therefore, you've done oicher toichiach hazamisecho. Speak to someone in a way that's acceptable to him, that he will listen to, and also you now don't have to tell Shimon anymore that Levi was planning to do anything, because the danger is over, it's past. So if he accepts, that's fine. Musa Zayn, that if he's going to ignore you and he's going to say, Af al pi kein, and don't mix into my affairs and mind your own business and stay out of my, you know, I've got something between me and Shimon and it's nothing to do with you, Reuven. I don't know who told you about it, I don't know how you found out, but just stay out of it, mind your own business, and don't come here talking to me about my affairs. Then you were mekayim in the mitzvah of techocha. You tried your best to be moichiachim. Moichiach techiach, you've been mekayim. Havah shalom anon lachaveira, you tried, it didn't work. Now you have to go and tell Shimon. You have to go and tell Shimon that Levi is planning to cause harm. And maybe you could tell him as well, I don't see the harm, in saying, and I've spoken to Levi, and he doesn't want to retract from what he's planning to do. And therefore, I'm warning you so that you can protect yourself. And that's the deal. And then that rechilus, if you like, is mutter. Even though, as a result of that, Shimon might have an enmity now towards Levi. He's just discovered that Levi's planning to do something against him. So therefore, Shimon might be very upset about that. And now we're creating an enmity, if you like. We're creating a bad relationship, a soured relationship between Shimon and between Levi. That's too bad. That's the consequence. On the other hand, we've got Loisama Adam Reecho. I can't stand by and see Shimon come into harm at the hands of Levi. I tried to prevent it. It didn't work. Therefore, I want to now enable Reuven to protect himself. Okay. So now we're going to tell the potential victim. So now, yeah, I know that Levi is planning to do something to Shimon and he's not willing to back off. So now I'm going to tell Shimon that Levi is planning to do something to you. So again, we've got different reactions from the potential victim. One is that he might say, thank you for letting me know, and I will take precautions. I'll do whatever I can in order to prevent Levi from being able to do harm to me. And that would be the perfect situation, that you've tried Levi, Levi didn't work, so now you tell Shimon, protect yourself from the harm that's coming. On the other hand, sometimes, says the Chofetz Chaim, there are people who go on the offensive. How does he react? What? Levi's planning to do that to me? How dare he? You know, etc. I've never done anything to him, and he's my brother as well, you know, etc., etc. Whatever it is, right? The guy might get very annoyed, and he's going to go on the offensive, and he is now going to preempt. He's going to do a preemptive strike, and he's going to attack Levi for having. Yeah, I found out. Yeah, and then it's going to get back. Then it's going to get back to this person, yeah? How did you find out? Yeah, I found out. He goes to Levi, Shimon goes down to Levi, and says, Reuven told me that you're planning to do harm to me. Oh, Reuven told you, right. Now, what's called, so now Shimon is annoyed with Levi, and Levi is now annoyed with Reuven because Reuven revealed the plan to Shimon. So all you're going to do is you're going to create a big machleika. Says the Chofetz Chaim, in that situation, if you are Messiah, that by telling Shimon about the potential harm that might be coming to him, you're going to create a machloikis between Shimon and Levi, and a machloikis between Levi and Reuven for having told Shimon, then better not to say. Then you don't mix in. Vosat Zayin, the third possibility is, like Gedalia ben Achikom, he was warned that someone was planning to kill him, yeah, and he refused to believe. So Vosat Zayin, then you've been Yoitzer. What could you do? You've been Yoitzer. You've tried Levi, didn't work. Now you try Shimon, and you say, protect yourself. And he says, I just don't accept it. I cannot believe that person, Levi, would want to cause me any harm. It's just not true. So that's it. You've done your best. You've warned him. There's nothing else you can do. If you've got any way of stopping it, fine. If not, not.
Started at Torahway, Northwest London, Tuesday, Kofkas Teves, 28th of January. Rabbi Tzvi Marmerstein Schlitter, Tofel before Iker. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Morgan, Lechavet Simcha Nesun, Donio Krasna, Yoani Rezi Morgan, Shetichia, who is fasting took place on Sunday. He wrote saying, Shim Nebaas, Neman, Yisrael, Lashem, Yisilot, Yisrael, Sashuim, Vachayolim, Vamelchamon, Shemachsul, Vatsayim, Vesholim, Vimeiro.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll share with you a shaila. Before we get to the shaila, just a little bit of background. We know, everyone knows the klal, that when you, in Hilchos Brachos, when you've got something which is an ikka and something which is a toffel, you make the bracha on the ikka and that patters the toffel. Now, what happens if you have the toffle before the ikka? Let me give you a classic example of this. This is if you're having your cornflakes, which that's the ikka, and you've got a little bit of raisins in it just to give it extra geschmack. So you decide to have your breakfast and you have the raisin first. Got it mixed. What bracha would you make on the raisin? Eating your breakfast. The ikkar patters the toffle, so you only make the hadama on the cornflakes. But that patters the toffle, should patter the raisin, which is ha'etz. What happens if you have the ha'etz before the hadama, the toffle before the ikkar? What's the halacha? So actually in Shulchan Aruch says something very surprising. Fascinating. It says you make a bracha, the bracha is shahako. On your raisin, you make shahakal on the raisin. Never heard of that before, have you? Unbelievable chiddush. Yeah? No, this is a regular raisin. If you have the toffle before the ikka, you make shahakal. We'll explain why soon. But the basic idea is, because there's a nidin in the Rishonim, if you have the toffle before the ikka, whether it requires a bracha at all. But then if it doesn't require a bracha, you're eating something without a bracha. So you can't do that. So therefore you have to make the basic bracha. The basic bracha is shahakal. Okay? Now, let me share with you the shaila.
Does that pass the cornflakes then?
Huh?
Does
that part of the cornflakes then?
No, no, the cornflakes is the primary bracha, because that's the main thing that you're eating. You're eating cornflakes. You're just adding raisins to give an extra flavour. So really, the raisins don't need a bracha at all. They don't need a bracha because they're in the tuffel. But you can't put something in your mouth without a bracha, therefore you make a shahako. Okay? Adkan, that's in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Reish Yud Beis, Sif Aleph, in the Ramah. Now listen to this, fascinating. What happens, and I've never seen anyone in the whole world do this. What happens when you're eating a suda of cholov? You're having something milky, and then you want to have meat. Yeah? So we know the halacha, you have to have kinuach v'adacha, you have to clean out your mouth. So you eat something, you drink something, and that separates the two. So what bracha do you make on the thing that you're actually having in between? So you had your milk, and then you have a pretzel. You take a pretzel from the cupboard, and you're just going to eat the pretzel just in order to be able to eat meat. So certainly you're not interested in the pretzel. That's certainly the tofel. The ikar is the steak. It's coming soon. What bracha would you make on the pretzel? You make shahakul on your pretzel. It should come out, you make shahakul on your pretzel. Because the only reason why you're eating this pretzel is purely in order to be able to eat meat. Have you ever heard of anyone making shahakul on this pretzel? Never. Huh? Because the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, because it's a suffix, whether or not you have to make a bracha when you eat the tofel before the ikka.
I'm not going to put a kinuach. I don't really want the pretzel. I'm not using it.
Yeah, but you can't put something in your mouth without a bracha.
A toothpaste?
You're not allowed to eat something without a bracha. So this is the strangest thing. You're eating this pretzel and you're making lechat chila, you make the bracha of shahakal on it. Incredible. Now let me share with you a story. I was once in Eretz Yisrael, and I lived there. I went to one of the wineries, I think it was the Golan winery, and they give wine tasting after, you know, they do a tour, and afterwards they give you wine tasting. So they give the different wines. So in between the different wines, they want you to, you know, clean out your mouth in order to be able to appreciate the next wine. So they give pretzels. Yeah? So what's the bracha of the pretzels? Pretzels are just eaten in order to be able to make, to clean out your mouth. You're not interested in the pretzels. The pretzels are there just as a toffle to the wine. The wine is the primary drink, which is actually the case of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch discusses this case. Just as, on a side point, when we were there was a group of bochum. I was already married at the time. There's a group of bochum there sitting around, and they were also going on this tour, and they were saying, forget about the wine, just give us more pretzels. Like as bochum would do. But the question is, you're having the pretzels in order to have wine. So that's a toffle, but you're having the toffle before the ikka. So if you've had the wine already, you've had one tasting of wine, so you made a bracha on your wine, that's the ikka, and that patters the toffle. You don't need to make any bracha at all on the pretzels. But let's say you come in the middle of the wine tasting, and they're up to the pretzels. So you take a pretzel. But the pretzel's only there in order to clean out your mouth to appreciate the taste of the wine. So that should be a shahakal. Never seen anyone making shahakal on pretzels. So maybe we can understand this and try and get a bit of more of a depth in this halacha. So we're going to go through, for those who have got, there's some photocopies of the Gemara. Mm. I can pass that to whoever wants one. You've got one? Everyone's got. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we're going to go through the sugya here about ikar and tofel, and I'm going to share with you something which Rav Moshe of Sternbuch says in this Gemara, and then we'll come back to our Shaila. So let's have a look at the Mishnah. Mishnah on top of Daf Mem Dalad Amud Aleph in Brachas. Heviu lefon of Meliach. If they brought in front of him something which was salty, tchila first, upas imoy, and bread with it, mavorich ala Meliach, you make a bracha on the thing which is salty, because that's the ikka. Or poiter as a pas, and it patters the pass. There's no need to make any bracha on the pass. Why? Sha'pas tfeiloloi, because the pass, the bread, is toffled to the meliach. Zehaklal, says the Gemara, this is the rule. Kol shuhu ikka ve'imoi tfeila, mevorech ala ikka protas tfeila. So here, this is the rule that you've got ikker and toffle, you make a bracha on the ikker, and the toffle doesn't require a bracha. So you've got your cornflakes with the raisins, you make a bracha on the cornflakes, and the raisins don't require a bracha at all. That's the klal of the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah's case is the meliach, this thing which is salty, that's the primary food, that's what you're trying to eat, that's what you're going to eat. But the pas is just toffle. The bread is only a toffle. Now, so ask the Gemara, the obvious question, mi ikamidi, to have a meliach iko pas tfeila? How do we ever have something where the pas is toffle? Normally, pas is the primary thing that you eat. You eat bread, that's the staple, and everything else is just to accompany the bread. Here, the Mishnah seems to say that the pas, the bread, is toffle. How can the pas be toffle? That's the Gemara's question. Umi ikamidi, to have a meliach ikka, or pas tfeila? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Acha, Breder of Avira, Omer of Ashi, Ba'oichle, Peris Genoisa Shonu. We're talking about some very, very special fruit. The person ate very special fruit. Very chosh of a fruit, which the Gemara goes on and tells us later on all about all its milas, and people had so much of it and they never got satisfied. These are Peris Genoisa, they're very, very special fruit. Okay? So what's the answer? What's the answer? You've eaten fruit. Where does the Mishnah speak about fruit for? Mishnah speaks about something which is salty and bread. Where's the fruit come in? So Tosis explains, if you look at the top Tosis says, Shamaliach ikka, shehu bo lehoshiv halev shenechlash mipnei mesikas apeiros. Tosis says there's actually three foods that we're eating, not two. The Mishnah only discusses two, but there's something before the story. Yeah, before the Mishnah begins, there's something before that. The guy ate Peres Genoisa, which are very, very sweet, and it causes the heart to become nechlash, it becomes weak. I don't know if the doctor is musking with this, but it causes the heart to become weak, right? And he needs something to counter it. So he has the salty thing to counter the very sweet taste which is causing his heart to be nechlash. Right? So there's a chain effect over here. He likes the peiros. He's going to eat the peiros because he loves the fruit. The peiros genoisa are very special fruit. Right? That's his primary thing that he's eating. Then, to counter the sweetness, he has something salty. And then to counter the salt is too strong for him, so he has to have some pas to tame it. Right? So there's three foods.
Maybe heartburn.
Maybe Zalman. Okay.
Why can't you just have the bread off the peiros? Why does he need them?
Because the salt it counters the sweet. The bread's not going to do that. It's like that when you're nashing. You have something sweet, and then you want something savoury, and then sweet and savoury, and it goes backwards and forwards. And that's what's happening over here. The guy had the fruit, that was his prime. He got the special peiros genoisa, that was a very sweet. And then to counter it, he has the savoury. But the savoury thing, or the meliach, is too strong, too powerful, so he needs something to tame that, and that is the bread. So that's the...
Isn't the meliach now toffle to the...
Oh, virus? Excellent question. Tosis, that's the next kasha of Tosis. Very good question. This is... Then why isn't the meliach toffle to the peiros? If the peiros, you're eating the peiros, that's the primary thing. That's the ikka. Then you've got the meliach, and the meliach is just there as a toffle to... And then what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, you mevorech on the meliach. Why are you making a brach on the meliach? Surely the meliach is toffle to the peiros. If we're talking about three foods, not two. There's three foods. There's the peiros, which are primary. Then you're having the meliach as a toffle to the peiros. And then you're having the pas as a toffle to the meliach. So just make a brach on the peiros. Make ha'eitz. You don't need to make any bracha on the meliach or all the pas either. That's Tosis next kasha. Let's have a look at Tosis. Three lines into Tosis. Tosis says, "Im toma, peiros have the ikka. Surely the peiros the fruit are the ikka. O meliach tofel. The meliach is only tofel. Ve livrich ala peiris ve lifta kulu. Just make a bracha on the peiris and that should patter everything. Beautiful question. Answers Tosis, v'yeshloima, demairi shaloi ochal, hapiris v'oisei mamut. We're talking about a case where there's no fruit anymore. You ate the fruit a while ago, now you decided you're going to have the maliach to counter the feeling of the nechlash alev, the heartburn, whatever it is, and then, but the peiris are not around anymore. Seeing as the peiris are not around, you can't say ikka patters the toffle when there's no fruit around. Okay, that's Tosis's teretz. Let's have a look at Rashi, if Rashi agrees with Tosis. Look how Rashi answers the Gemara. Rashi says, Peiris Genosa. Says Rashi, Peiris Eretz Yam Kineret. So Rashi tells us the location of the Genosa. And they say, Chashuvim Min HaPas. They are more important than the bread. What's Pshat and Rashi? Rashi hasn't dealt with any question. Surely, more than that, surely, are we talking about three foods or two foods in Rashi?
Two.
Yeah. It seems like we're only talking about two foods because the Gemara says, but oichle peris genosa. And Tosis explains the peiris genosa were eaten before the maliach. There's actually three foods. The Mishnah only mentions two. Maliach, something salty, and the pas. And Tosis says, no, we're talking about where the peiris were eaten first, and then the maliach, and then the pas. Rashi doesn't mention anything about that. Rashi says, the peiris genosa chashuvim min hapas. So it sounds like there's only peiris and pas. But on the other hand, the Mishnah mentions Maliach. So how does that work? So if you look in Rabbeinu Yonah, and this is Moshe Sternbuch says this, Rabbeinu Yonah says that Rashi is talking about two foods, and he says something very interesting, that the fruit are the salty food. It's all in one. It's all combined together. Tosis learns there's three foods. There's the peiris genosa, which are very sweet. Then you have to have something salty afterwards, and then you have to have something to tame the salt, which you have the bread. Rashi is combining it all together, and Rashi doesn't mention anything about it's the fruit itself which are salty. You put the salt on the fruit. That's how Rabbi Yonah learns, and that's Mashman Rashi. Rashi says, the peiris genosa chashuvim in apas. There's only peiris genosa and pas. The peiris genosa, the Mishnah says maliach. The teretz is peiris genosa are maliach. There's only two foods. The peiris themselves are salty. Why anyone would do that? Put salt on his fruit? I don't know. Maybe they're too sweet, so therefore he has to.
There's still three things then. He's eating fruit.
He's eating fruit which are salty.
Salty fruit.
Salty fruit. He puts salt directly on the fruit.
He puts the salt on the fruit.
Yeah.
That's the maliach.
That's the maliach.
No.
And but there's no, according to Tosis, he's eaten
got
the
two toffles. No. You've still got the fruit, the salt, well, and the lechem.
No, the fruit and the salt are all in one. Oh. One oichel. And then he has the lechem.
You have salty nuts.
You have salty nuts, but not salty fruit. Salty apples?
Well, who knows?
Let me just read you out the
Could peiris genosa be salty fish?
No, it's peiris.
It means peiris.
Yeah, that's okay.
In French they say fruit de mer.
Which is?
The fruit of the sea. Speak about. Fish.
Hey, listen to this. This I'm reading Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, peiris genosa he mesukim beyosa ve'einin lecholim ela im melech harbe. The peiris themselves are only eaten with lots of salt. So you put
too sweet.
You put salt actually on the fruit.
They're very sweet.
They're very sweet. So it actually in Pshat it goes better in the Gemara because we don't say three. The Mishnah only mentions maliach and pas, and the Gemara says peiris genosa. So Tosis says we're talking about whether you've eaten peiris genosa beforehand. Rashi says no. The maliach that the Mishnah is talking about is maliach of peiris genosa. Okay, That's the Gemara Machlokes Rashi Tosis. Now comes with Moshe Sternbuch and explains, why did Rashi not learn lactosis? Why did Rashi not learn lactosis that we're talking about, where there's three fruits and you've eaten the Peres Genosa, then you eat your Maliyah, something salty to counter the Peres Genosa, to the sweetness of the Peres Genosa, and then you eat your bread because the salt is too strong. Why didn't he learn lactosis? So he says, because Rashi doesn't agree to the din of tosis, and then we're going to get back to the shayla. We're going to explain that, why Rashi doesn't agree to tosis. Why does Rashi not agree to tosis? Because tosis says, had you had the Peres Genosa, because you had the Peres Genosa before, which are the Ikka, before the Maliach, which is Tafel, therefore the Peres Genosa can't patter the Maliach, because they're not in the same, that you're not eating them at the same time. That's what the Tosis says. Rashi doesn't agree with that. And Rashi says, if you have the Peres Genosa earlier, if you have the Peres Genosa first, that would still patter the Maliach. As Machloikas Rashi and Tosis. If you have the Ikka first, even though there's no Peres Genosa, even though there's no Maliach in sight, Tosis says, no, you still got to make a bracha on your tofel. Rashi says you don't. Therefore, Rashi had to talk about a completely different case, where the Peres Genosa themselves were the Maliach. Okay, that's what Moshe Sternbuch explains the Machlokes. And he says, what's the Lomdus? So he says a Chakira. Nice Chakira. How does Ikra and Tofel work? And then we're going to get back to the Shadow with this Chakira. How does Ikra and Tofel work? Is the pshat that the bracha that you make on the ikka patters the tofel, meaning that the bracha is considered a bracha on the tofel? The bracha that you make on, so let's say you've got your cornflakes with your raisins, and you're making a bar pri adama on your cornflakes. That bar pri adama works on the raisins, so the raisins themselves have had a bracha, and it's as if you've made a bracha of bar pri adama on the raisins, and they're patter. That's one side. The other tzad is to say no, that the bracha, because it's a tofel, because it's something a minority and something which is not the main thing that you're eating, it doesn't require a bracha. It's insignificant and doesn't require a bracha. The first tzad is to say it does require a bracha, but the bracha of the ikka works for the tofel. The second tzad is no, it actually doesn't require a bracha at all. The bracha of the ikka is the only thing that you require. The tofel's insignificant. It's like bottle. It's insignificant, it's not choshev, and doesn't require a bracha. He says, yeah?
If the guy wants to eat his cornflakes without raisins are an integral part to him, he would discard the cornflakes if there were no raisins in it. Surely he needs to make a bracha for the raisins.
So it could be that becomes an ikka then. It will become an ikka for him. For him, it will be. Yeah.
But
for most people who are having cornflakes and raisins, they're eating the cornflakes, and the raisins are just to enhance the cereal, to make it better. Cornflakes with milk, even... Milk? Yeah.
It's a subjective question, then.
Yeah, it could be. It could be suggested.
In your shayla, if the ikkel was a mazinus and the tofu was a shahakol, how can you say that the mazinus is patterning the shahakol?
Even though it's different brochas.
Al-Atsad, that they both need a brocha.
Yeah.
That the brocha is going on both of them.
Yeah.
How can you make a mazinus?
Because there has a brocha been done. It doesn't matter that it's not quite the same brocha. The chiddush of that tzad, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but the chiddush of that tzad is, as long as there's some kind of brocha, some kind of thank you, yeah, which has been said for this, then that's good enough.
So you've got a cream cake, and you lick off the cream, without eating the cake.
So again, so you're going to have the cake in a minute? Are you going to have it in a few minutes? You're just having it first, yeah. That's the question of the tofel before the ikka, and the Shulchan Aruch we quoted says you make shahakal on the thing. But our case, the chiddush was, if you have the raisin, which is ha'etz, then the Shulchan Aruch says you make shahakal on the raisin. That's the chiddush. If you have the tofel before the ikka, you make shahakal. Right? That's fascinating. But let's go, we've gone off point, right? So the Moshe Sternbuch says that this Chakira is actually the Machlokes Rashi and Tosis. If the idea is that the brocha that you make on your ikka covers the tofel, it's as if you've made a brocha on the tofel, then you need to have both of them around. You can't have the ikkah, which is made beforehand, and then the toffle not around. So, because the bracha which you're making on the ikkah actually works on the toffle. But if the vat is it's insignificant, then it doesn't need to be around. According to Rashi, it's insignificant, and therefore it doesn't need to be around. Even if you've got the ikkah, you've eaten the peres genosa half an hour ago, and now you're coming to eat the maliach to counter it. Now the maliach is toffle. Says Rashi, I don't agree with you, Tosis. The broch on the ikkah will work for the toffle, not because it works for the toffle, because if it's actually working for the toffle, it'll have to be there. Both of them have to be there at the same time. But according to Rashi, the idea is that it doesn't require, it's insignificant. So let's get back to our case. Similarly, what happens if you have your toffle before the ikkah? If you have your corn, your raisin before your cornflakes, according to Rashi, the idea is it's insignificant. It's insignificant, it doesn't require a bracha. According to Tosis, the idea is that it patters, the bracha on the ikkah patters the toffle, works for the toffle, it's as if it's on the toffle. Then, if it's beforehand, it requires a bracha. So halacha lemaisa, there's this machlokes, which the Beis Yosef brings down the machlokes, and he says because there is machlokes, you can't ignore it. You can't just ignore the machlokes, and therefore, he says, the Rama actually brings down halacha lemaisa, you've got to make some kind of bracha, but it doesn't have to be the bracha that this fruit requires. So exactly, for example, let's go back to our cases. If you've got the cornflakes are hadama, right? And the raisins are shahaka. So according to the Rama, if you ate the toffle, i.e. the raisin, before the cornflakes, you'd make a shahakal on it. Why? Because it's machlokas. And because it's machlokas, really we have to be choshesh that it doesn't require a brocha. But how can you put something into your mouth without a brocha? So you have to make the basic brocha. What's the basic brocha? Shahakal. So coming back to our case of the pretzel. Pretzel, before you're eating milchiks, and you want to eat fleishiks, so you have to do kinuach v'adachal. So what do you do with kinuach v'adachal? You have the pretzel in between. So what broch is usually the pretzel? Pretzel's usually mezonos. But here, according to the Rama, it's going to be shako. And then we ask, how can it be? We've never seen anyone make shako on the pretzel. So the answer is because the Mishnah Berurah paskens like the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says like this. It says it depends what the second broch, and that makes things even more complicated. Depends what the ikkah is. If the bracha on the ikkah is shahako, then you make a bracha of shahako. But if the bracha on, let's say you're having a whiskey, yeah, you're having a whiskey tasting, not wine tasting, and you're having a pretzel beforehand to clean out your mouth, then you'd make a bracha of shahako on your pretzel.
You make shahako on the whiskey.
No, you haven't. You're starting with your pretzel. You start with your pretzel in order to clean out your mouth, in order to make sure, in order to drink your whiskey. The bracha on the pretzel, halacha lemaisa, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is shahako. Fabulous kiddush.
You make another bracha on the whiskey?
No. You don't make a bracha on the whiskey at all. That's the Mishnah Berurah passage. However, if the bracha of the ikkah that you're eating is not shako, let's say it's the cornflakes case, so the cornflakes is hadoma, then he says you have to make a bracha of ha'etz. Yeah, then you have to make a bracha of ha'etz on the raisins. So halacha lemaisa, the bottom line is, halacha lemaisa is, it depends, according to the Mishnah Berurah paskens at the Magen Avraham, that it depends what the bracha of the ikkah is. If the bracha of the ikkah is shahakel, then if you have the toffle before the ikkah, then you'd have to make a bracha of shahakel on the toffle, and that would cover also the shahakel later on. However, if the bracha of the ikkah is a different bracha, not shahakel, mezonos, then you wouldn't make then you make the bracha of the toffle, whatever the bracha of the toffle is. So coming back to the raisins, at the end of the day, you make a bracha of ha'etz on the raisins.
When
you eat the ha'etz before, yeah, if you eat it afterwards, then you don't make any bracha at all. And if you eat it before, we're only talking about where the toffle is before the ikkah. If you make the bracha on the toffle before the ikkah, so you make ha'etz on the raisins, and then you have your hadoma of the cornflakes. However, if it's shahakel, if the ikur that you're going to eat is shahakel, then you make shahakel now. You make shahakel now, and that's the case of the shulchan aruch.
If you've got an apple baked with raisins, then you'll make twice hoitz if you eat the raisins first.
No, because if you know that you're going to, you don't need to make a second bracha.
But you were saying that you have to make bracha on each of them, and you make the right bracha on the toffel.
No, but if you know that you're going to eat it, it's lefonecha.
So you're going to make a bracha on the toffel and pata the ikka with it?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. So good point.
If you're having a lachaim with whiskey and you have a little biscuit, does that mean you don't need to make the mazonas at all?
If you're eating the biscuit in order to have the lachaim,
yeah.
So then you make shahakel on the biscuit.
Then you wouldn't make a bracha.
You make shahakel on the biscuit. That's what the bottom line is. This is the chiddush. Right. According to the Mishnah Berurah, you make shahakel on the biscuit or on the press.
You make a shahakel on the biscuit if you want to eat the hurry.
What?
You make a shahakel on the biscuit if you want to eat the hurry.
Yes, I know.
The Mishnah Berurah brings the herring when it comes to the herring.
You want the taste of it.
What is normally the case? If you're just interested in shahakal, then you're right. If you're only interested in the fish, and this is just to hold it, then you're right.
I'm going to make sure.